In a world where Togu fans are easy and the wrong figure arts are released for retail, three man children stand not quite shoulder to shoulder with their trusty spray can at their side, united across timelines and space against the congealed, grimdark 90s inspired hordes. Shuku and Shinobi, Dossum Rifle, Jedi Mom, Aerosol. Their mission, to bring you the latest Togu news in the craziest way possible. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles Season 4. If you don't listen to this show, you don't
Hello,
know anything
about Togu Season 4, Episode 25.
Metal Alice in Wonderland. The first one was more exciting.
Wow. That was way less charismatic than the first one.
It's only like a minute, too.
I used up all my charisma. I only get a certain amount a day.
You just sounded so bored. Well, actually, Brian started giggling and then was bored halfway through. And then did it kind of suave. And then you were bored.
Brian became
I was like
bored
four
of giggling.
Different emotions in one title.
Oh, man. So, yep, we're here.
Definitely not episode 26.
No, there's no way it's episode 26.
That is absolutely...
No one's
going
to understand what we're talking about.
That's absolutely for real. Next week.
Next week's 27. No, I don't want to confuse you.
No, it's not. Don't
it's 28.
Like that.
It's 20 derp.
It's actually season 5.
What? You broke me. My God, I cannot find a safe station. Good God. What am I going to do?
My safe station is Pokemon.
This is scary. Speaking of scary...
Shut your TV off.
Because then it would just seem weird. Because
then the monsters will get them. Aerosol.
Exactly. Plus,
the
it's weird.
The monsters won't get you as long as we're here.
No, that's not
he
true.
He will protect you.
Not true. It's just weird if the TV's not on. I don't know why. It's just, I always have it on. So, one-ups then?
Yep. Okay, purchase-wise, I haven't purchased a single damn thing all week. I'm going through withdrawals, and it's awful. The Arms Change 4 went up briefly before we started recording. I managed to get one of those.
Which one is that?
The Ichigo and Pineapple.
Oh.
Set.
What? No, how come no one alerted me?
Because by the time I went to go alert people, it was gone already.
You could have just said, hey, you missed it, loser, and then at least I would have known it existed.
There's some vinyls, too, but I got those.
The other one's a Mincino. Sorry.
Ooh, this guy, PT Elite 4. Let's go see what he has. Yeah, nothing too much else. I still don't have a Bragigas. I don't know if I'm buying him right away.
I'm in the same boat.
I'm actually trying to get a bunch of Megazords off someone for like a really good price. So I'm,
or just steal them free.
I just use my Bragigas money on that because.
What Megazords?
Like, there was a lot there. Shogun. Lightspeed, Turbo, the rescue one, a white battle board, because that's the only one I don't have, a Dimetrozord, a Zeo Megazord.
Jeez.
There might have been one other or something in there, too. But, so I'm still working on that. Sales have went to a complete halt. So buy my shit, people. ShukuShinobi.com/Shuki-sales.
ShukuShinobi.com/Shuki.
Best
totally, address of all time.
Totally redundant address. But yeah, seriously though, buy my shit.
/Shuki.
We started the move-in. That's fucking Dunsparce. God damn it. We started the move-in process officially today. We got the keys. We're in. We moved the furniture where it's supposed to go. Started moving boxes, and this is as far as we got in one day. But, yeah, that's exciting and stressful and really annoying. Like,
right, like, you mean I actually have to move the stuff? I thought, like, once we bought the house, it would just be decorated. Like, everything would just poof.
God, I wish. So much. But, yeah, like, it's in this really annoying transition where we need to put everything where it goes, but we want to do a lot of repair work. And so it's really annoying to put things up, and then we're going to have to either take them down or move them while we do repairs, so it doesn't feel like it's worth it, but we have to do something with it. And it's really obnoxious. But
it's like, we're going to put the couch there, but we're going to have to fix the gaping hole in the floor. So it's like, you know, such decisions.
There is actually a hole in the floor. There's an air vent in the floor, and it was uncovered, actually. So we had to put a vent cover over it. But because the entertainment center their TV was on was over it. We moved that, and all of a sudden there's a little hole in the ground.
I hope no one would see it.
God damn it. No dittos in the fucking Eevee. I already have someone with an Eevee.
Want a female, Brax? Brazen, whatever.
Yes, I know.
Damn it, Brian. I want what I want. Why can't I have the things that I want?
Just add that guy.
What guy?
The guy that I said had Brazen.
Well, I don't know him. I have standards.
Okay, that... Wow.
I have to legitimately be friends with the person to add them. Not some sort of friend code slut.
But yeah, that's really about it. It's just moving, moving, moving.
Moving on up.
To
the hole.
Please.
Oh,
yeah, hopefully I'll have better news next week. I mean, not better news, but like a better update. Like, oh, everything's where it goes. It's all pretty.
We filled in the hole with mac and cheese. It smells delicious.
Yeah, they were
liquid gold digger. Oh, those commercials.
Like, that would be legitimately awesome. Just have the whole house smell like macaroni and cheese all the time.
Until it starts going bad.
Oh.
That's fine.
You killed it.
Oh, the sound you made when you said that. It was like your dreams were being crushed.
They were crushed. For real.
For real.
For real. It's like an Oreo, except it's stupid.
Wow. This is dragging on.
Dawson never started talking.
Oh, well, I was talking, just not about what I should have been. I was talking about mac and cheese, and then I just kept saying for real. Let's see. There hasn't been a whole lot. I've still been playing Pokemon, which I'm currently doing right now. I don't know if I had finished it last week, but I did finish it, so I'm in the post game now. I also got Arkham Origins, and I've been playing that, and that's been pretty fun. It took a while for me to actually get to play it, because, like, when I got it, I was just finishing Pokemon, and I, like, still really wanted to play, like, the after stuff, so I didn't start it right when I got it. And then, on Sunday, I tried to play it, and I didn't have enough room on my PS3, so I had to go through and, like, delete a bunch of random stuff. So it took me forever to get that game started. That was an interesting story. But, yeah, Batman. I don't think there's been anything else. My Ami box should be here in a day or so with my Sengoku driver and stuff that I finally got. Kevin texted me and said, I got you a Grape Lock Seed, and they have the Sengoku driver without a discount. Please assist. And so I said, you know what? I'm just going to wait. And then I rolled over and said, fuck it, and I ordered it on my phone. Because I'm like, I don't want to have to... If I don't order it now, I'm going to have to wait till the end of November, and that would just be ridiculous. So I ordered that and the arm change... Gaim figure, so I'm pretty much all caught up on that. So I'm pretty happy about that. And I still have yet to tell HLJ to ship my mini Tira, and I keep meaning to do that. But yeah, I think that's it. Nothing else really interesting. Are you the Esper I'm looking for? Are you another Esper? Don't do that to me, game. There can't be more than one. Where's the snatch cat button?
What?
I'm on that looker mission where you have to find that Esper, and I just found one standing by a businessman, but it just says "Huzzah!"
No, they're in alleyways.
Oh,
dude, well, they're not on the main street.
Well, then why are they? confused.
They tell
me.
You that they're in the alleyways.
I know. They told me it was across
from. You gotta
from
stop
the...
hitting that A button.
Damn it! Hate everything.
I finally got a better computer. I say that a bit weary because Skype does not like to run very well on it. I think that's mostly Skype's fault, though, because everything else is fine. Let's see. I've mentioned a couple of times that I pre-ordered Hometown Story from the Harvest Moon people. And I pre-ordered that at the beginning of this month, which was as early as the pre-order actually went up for the specific one that I wanted. And the release date was originally set at November 1st, but they actually moved it up to October 22nd,
that
which
don't
would
happen
norm-
often.
Yeah. Well, that would normally be a good thing if Natsumi was not such an incompetent company. I didn't receive my game till quite a while afterwards. It didn't ship until I got it yesterday, which would be Wednesday. It didn't ship till Tuesday, which is a full week after it came out.
At least he got it quickly once it shipped.
Yeah. But it's like, I don't know. Like, I pre-ordered it. I specifically pre-ordered it from their website. So I'm pre-ordering it from the company themselves. Not Amazon, not anything else. All of the Amazon people who pre-ordered it got it, like, right away. And all of the people from GameStop got it right away. But the people who ordered it from the company, from the actual company that makes the game, had to wait over a week. And it's just, I don't know, it's just this really little annoyance. It didn't help that I opened the box and there was, like, no padding whatsoever. It's this box that's, like, too large for the game itself. And there's no padding. It's just the game is, sitting in there, rattling around. So, yeah, that was annoying. But I did get my little pre-order dragon, who is adorable and, like, incredibly soft.
I love your petting, sitting there stroking it like a supervillain.
I'm doing that right now.
Oh, God.
I had it in my hands during that whole thing. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for me, I think. It's Halloween. Ooh. None of us are dressed up.
No.
I can tell just by the tone in Brian's voice.
Stop. Nope.
No Scraggy this year.
I was too busy.
Not being Scraggy.
I'm Scraggy in spirit, though. Spirit's great. anyway. Nudes? Nudes time?
Hey, nudes.
Yes? Where do we start with? We'll start with, like, probably my favorite piece of news to come out of this week. Courage vs. GoBusters was announced officially. So no more of this speculatory Courage Operanger, G-Ranger is their team-up movie. GoBusters is awful, so it doesn't exist anymore. Bullshit. It's, like, legit. It's happening. There'll be dinos and Jay, and that's all I need in life, really. Dinos and Jay. So I'm super excited about that. Like, the movie could fucking suck. I don't really care. As long as goddamn Jay's there, I'm happy.
There was
Honestly, I'd be surprised if it did suck. Just because they're both such good shows.
I don't think it can.
Such, like, good casts.
Like,
there was a little...
I feel like it can't possibly be awful. Like, I don't think they can make it awful.
there was a little like discussion on Facebook Rangers about GoBusters, and one of the threads started, and someone just said best character in the show, and they posted a picture of Jay with the subtitle when he's holding up the bananas, and he's like, "I'm talking with banana right now."
God, I love that so much.
Oh, Beer Jay Stag for life.
One of my rotating backgrounds on my desktop is the picture of him holding up the bananas to Beat Buster, and Beat Buster just like face palming.
So good. So yeah, there'll be more information about that next month, so looking forward to seeing what they're doing. And more Curiouser related stuffs. You remember Ranger Keys? Of course you do, because Bandai will not let you forget ever. A Curiouser Ranger Key set has been announced from Premium Bandai. There's going to be a total of 13 keys, apparently. But they're talking about... okay. I get it now.
Okay.
13 total keys, and then like 12 of these like little canister looking things, and so you stick the keys in the canister and it'll make the sound like it would in the Mobirets, except apparently it's voiced by the Gabo Revolver guy and not the Mobirets guy, but
he's taking over.
That's fine. So that will be a 13 key set, 12 cans. I assume Carnival might not have a can. Maybe the white cans for Carnival. I don't know. Who really cares, really? They look nice. They definitely look nice, and the Curiouser designs like translate into Ranger Keys really well. It's just a matter of the fact that the Ranger Keys are so fucking overdone. And
I know. I'm so sick of them.
I'm really tired of seeing them. I'm gonna have to see them in America version soon. And also at the bottom of the little page, it shows a little teaser about the Deboss logo. And this is something about Ranger Keys, so we might see Deboss Ranger Keys.
Oh, Lord. There's all just laughing at it.
So that might actually be a thing. It could just mean that the secret key is Death Reacher. I don't really know.
That would make more sense than... Deboss keys.
But I kind of hope there's Deboss keys, just because the idea of that is absolutely ridiculous.
What a torrent key.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that, who knows. But for those curious, obviously it has the main six, cyan, gray, both versions of violet, silver, and carnival. And then some secret thing. But yeah, so that will cost you 16,200 yen.
That's ridiculous. It's redonkulous.
For
13
keys and some electronical cans.
Stupid electronical cans. That's such a funny thing. Electronical cans.
Like, they're really stupid. But, oh well, whatever. Like, honestly, I was like, oh, I might actually get this, because I really do love Curiouser, and I have the GoBusters keys and stuff, too, so I'm like, well, they look nice together. I looked at the price and decided that it was really stupid.
Yeah.
So, that kind of... It was the same thing with the Akiba Ranger set.
Yeah, that was ridiculously priced.
I was like,
well,
I really love Akiba Ranger, and then I looked at the price and just didn't care anymore. That was the problem I had with the movie set with the Buddyroids. Because I would honestly like that set, because I like the robots and I like the Buddyroids. But that set was so expensive. It's about as much as this set was. Or is. And...
Was Brian's
Well, it's just really annoying. Why can't they just stop? Well, because people buy them, that's why, but...
I'm really tired of looking for this stupid cat. This is what this game's been reduced to. I'm looking for a cat. I'm like a fireman from Pleasantville.
Why are you... Like, what are... Oh, never mind. I just remembered you were doing the looker mission.
Oh, no, I'm looking for an actual cat aerosol. I'm out
of I thought you were looking for, like, a very specific Esper catch.
I'm going to catch this one.
I'm like, they're not that hard to find. I could breed you one.
I'm Just send me that weird video again, and then you can find one. That'll be the music that plays when I finally find it in an alleyway. And then it's going to murder me.
It might.
Probably. So moving along from Kyoryuger to Gaim. Let's start with this. So everyone was bitching that Zangetsu's faceplate for the Sengoku driver didn't come with the Musou Saber or anything. But that is because Bandai decided to make it a campaign item. And the how the campaign works is if you buy a specific Gaim toy. I had the list somewhere. Where'd it go? I closed my notes. If you buy the Sengoku driver, the combo set with the driver and the holder, the Musou Saber, the lock holder, the Budo lock seed, the Ichigo lock seed, either of the two arm weapons, any of the four arm change sets, or any of the two lock vehicles, you can get it. So that is how that's going to work. Store-wise, I have no idea how it's going to work anywhere. As far as I know, last I talked with Mr. S, it's basically how they laid it out. If you buy one of those items, you get a faceplate until they run out, which is probably pretty fast. How AmiAmi's doing it, no idea. How HLJ's doing it, they're probably not, because they're awful.
Poor HLJ.
How Hobby Search is doing it, I don't know, because I hardly ever shop there. But, yeah, so that's the thing. It just plays the same sound as Gaim, so it's not really that big of a deal. Everyone's throwing, like, a bitch fit about it. Like, how could they do this? It's so vital. It's not vital at all. It just plays the Gaim sound. Just print out a fucking sticker.
Oh, it does? Just play the same sound?
Yeah.
Huh.
The Sengoku driver only has four sounds. Gaim and Zangetsu. As far as I know, Baron and any of the nuts. Ryugen, and then Blood Orange game.
Oh. When
I found the cat. What do I do? I mean, like, do I nudge it? What did you guys do to make it not run away?
Dance.
Yeah.
Dance. Yeah, dancing. Dance.
I'm
bitch.
Dancing. Dance. We just ran off together. We're getting married. Oh, look, I did it. I'm so happy. Thank you, guys. You guys reunited a cat with its friend.
What I actually find kind of funny is that the banner for this campaign actually shows arm change Zangetsu, and that's not one of the eligible items. But yeah, that's a thing everyone was bitching about that I really don't care. Ooh, is that? I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, so speaking of nuts, that was a lot of sentences ago, but we finally got some decent pictures of Kurokage and Bravo,
the network,
the
sorry,
two additional see. Nuts in which we thought were Greenon forms aren't. So Greenon's here. He kind of looks like in this pic. I'm looking at a picture of Bravo, Greenon, and Kurokage on one page, and Greenon just looks like a total derp. I don't know what it exactly is about it, but
I didn't expect Greedon to be that character.
Yeah, it's something I have to see to figure out.
Who is he?
The guy Bless. From.
Is it the one that in this episode that's got the glasses?
Yeah, yeah. The In Vito guy.
The guy that's like, I think he has like the strawberry lockseed. Isn't he the one that challenged what's his face in the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I thought so based on a little tiny picture, but
he's the one that they were accusing of. His team being cheaters, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
Was the guy that was next to him in that episode, is that Kurokage or Bravo, or is that just a different character?
Yeah, the guy from Raid Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he's been in a couple of they've both been in a couple of episodes, but
so the Raid Wild guy's Kurokage?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I don't think we've seen Pierre yet. Who is Bravo?
He's got such. Okay, Bravo. We kind of talked about Kurokage already. He fits the whole theme that they're going with.
Yeah, he looks
the
neat,
guys. And I really dig
just
him.
Just based on the pose and everything, it just doesn't seem like that character to me.
Yeah. Oh well.
It feels like they're all mixed up.
maybe they are. But Bravo. Okay, so I think we've had talks about Durians a couple times on the show when this was happening, and so they're kind of gross, and apparently Japan thinks they're gross too, because Bravo is by far the most grotesque looking rider I've ever seen. He just looks toxic. And
I'm curious to see if death. He smells.
He probably smells. Pierre smells.
Well, he sounds French, so it makes sense.
So he's using like a saw sword as his weapon, so that's kind of neat. But seriously, there's spikes everywhere, and his base colors are green, purple, and silver. And they accent each other really well. And it's like it's this weird, grotesque kind of awesome. And yeah. This guy has to be a total asshat in order for this to work. Because that suit just, like, oozes evil and stinky.
Those two go hand in hand.
And I really, really dig it. Like, it's really cool. And he doesn't have a figure announced yet, and I'm sad.
I wasn't expecting him to be that color. To be, that shade of green.
Yeah, I wasn't either. Given the Loxseed's a fairly bright yellow-green color.
That's what most Durian look like.
Yeah.
I mean, they can be green. That's not... So that's not unheard of, but... Yeah.
But it's Kurokage and Greedon look a lot alike-ish. And then you got the Durian. But well, considering the Durian's not a nut guy, yeah. So he doesn't really need to look like them. But it'll be interesting to see how everything plays out with these guys. Like, who knows where the Durian guy's going? But Invito and Wild Raid are partnered with Baron, so we'll see how that plays out. But really cool. And that is all for the nudes.
Nudes.
Nudes. New nudes. Cause.
Okay then.
So, I'm going through this looker thing, and this lady's just yelling Japanese.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that happens. I was trying to read it. It was fun.
Lookers have to get tea.
Okay.
So now it's time for.
Oh God.
Oh God!
It's superhero time with line.
No,
it's Cure User and Gaim. Huh? That's weird.
That line.
Oh, and I guess Megaforce is later too. If that was on,
it's part of its own thing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it should be. No,
I'm not doing a summary of Cure User. I barely remember it. So,
so should we just go into the discussion then?
I'm trying to think of what happened. I mean, it was a good episode. It's not like
it was a really good episode. I think. I mean, progression wise, not a whole lot happened because it was basically for most of the episode the Cure User getting their asses handed to them. Multiple times. It carried a lot of feeling like a penultimate finale episode.
Yeah, it kind of did.
And I really enjoyed that aspect of it. So we have the big Gardma guy, and he's just kind of wrecking everyone's shit. They can't do anything to it. Brigigas, because he didn't transform yet. And Torin are kind of like just separated from them because they can't do anything. Chaos was in the spirit base. He fucked Torin up. Yagoi got bitch slapped.
Well, she didn't even get hit. She just got knocked out by the rumbling.
There's multiple things some people would say to that.
Okay.
Something about sexist.
That, no, yeah.
No, yeah.
I thought you were making like a sex joke, not no. a sexist. No. Joke.
She got hit by the rumbling, if you know what I mean.
Well, I can expect that from Kevin if he were here.
Be like the rumbling in my dick. Sorry, I was doing Kevin for us.
Anyway. Long story short, they won.
I like the chanting scene when they're like chanting Kyuujir because it reminded me of the Mystic Force scene, except instead of we believe in magic, they're like, we believe in dinosaurs. And then they won. Just shows you, if you believe in dinosaurs, you can help them win. But yeah, with that scene, it did carry kind of a finale-esque vibe to it. You know, with that and then with the Kyuujir just, like, losing it first and being all passed out, it reminded me of, like, you know, Countdown to Destruction.
Yeah.
And the only real thing that did happen in this episode is we got the super combo. His name I forget. It's, like, Super Kyuujin. Yeah, there we go. And that's fun, I guess. It looks a little funny with, like, the Forza-esque sort of chest plate.
I just like Lam on the bridge chanting Giganto, Giganto.
They're like doing the songs with it. We will rock you. wasn't there something said of about how Torin, this wouldn't have happened to Brigigas this time if Torin would have been a Kyuujir instead of a Deboss?
Yeah, he said something specific.
Because I'm just thinking,
it's pretty much just amounted to that.
It's pretty much probably going to lead into next week, obviously.
I am curious if that means that he just couldn't because he was a Deboss, or if there is something specific going on there. But
see, because if I remember right, I thought when he was talking about that, Yayoi was starting to wake up, and I thought, you know, that's going to lead into... Well, obviously we're getting Kyuujir Silver next week, but that's going to lead into it because she's kind of hearing that and thinking, oh, we need to make him a Morpher. Instead of like, here's your pimp gun.
He's already
done. Well, yeah, but it's the silver version, so she could upgrade it so we could morph. I don't know. That one could just be a key. She's just like, here's your pimp gun, Tor, and he's like, thanks, bitch. And then you just let him in. That's what happened. I remember it.
Evil Torin actually also showed up.
Oh, yeah, and he killed two guys who were already dead. I killed them, but they were already dead. So... I just knocked him out and been like, here's two dead guys. I actually kind of forgot about that during the episode because it happened like at the very beginning and then he didn't show up to like the last scene and then so much happened in between with the big battle and everything. So yeah, that should be interesting next week. Because Torin's going to be Kyuujir Silver. Spoiler alert. Apparently there's a lot of people upset about it, and I'm completely fine with it.
A lot of people upset about what?
Torin being Kyuujir Silver.
Why would they be?
I don't know, I just see a lot of people
Everyone was
being like,
really hardcore fapping for Daigo's dad.
Why?
Because that's what they thought it would be, and people hate being wrong, essentially. Like,
if it was Daigo's dad now after last week's, I would be pissed. Since we found out Brigigas was Torin's partner, I didn't want him to, like, pass it to somebody else. Like, kind of like how I'm slightly annoyed whenever Daigo's using Plezo when Yui's right there, because it's her partner. Yeah. So it's like, I didn't want Torin to be like, oh, Daigo's dad's much more spry than me. Here, take this. Like, no, I was happy with it. I kind of like the idea of Torin being right.
I think the issue really is just, for a long time, Daigo's dad being a Kyuujir just seemed really obvious to a lot of people, and I guess they just feel, I guess, betrayed that he wasn't.
Betrayed.
Like, that sounds silly, but there are definitely a lot of people like that. So, I like that Torin's a Kyuujir. I think it's awesome.
I think it's a good time to
like
do
Torin.
It.
And I like, yeah, definitely. And I don't know. I like that the mentor is getting more involved. I just like that.
it's late enough in the series to where they don't really have to do a whole lot with him, but it makes Torin relevant enough to continue to do stuff with him, if that makes any sense. It probably didn't at all. But I have no idea what I was trying to get at.
Torin was, if he wasn't a creator, he wouldn't be relevant, and he would just go off into obscurity.
Right.
Well, I mean, plus, Torin has such a stake in the fight. I don't know, it just makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense, because he created them. It's like, why wouldn't you be one? And with the base being Brigigas, it just also kind of makes sense in my mind, too. Kind of like, you know, Beckermaster and whatnot. But yeah, I really like that. I don't know why. People get their pennies in a bunch way too easily. People are the worst.
They really are.
I am, though, still curious about where this leaves Daigo's dad.
Homeless, still?
Well, part of me feels like he's a spirit.
He very well could be. I mean, he just kind of comes in and out, and he's old and strong.
You can only be old and strong if you're already dead.
I mean, that's just fact.
I mean, Brian's logic.
He's obviously connected to this somehow, because he knew Torin. Like, there has to be a reason why he knew Torin. You don't just stumble across this giant bird guy unless you're a Kyoryuger or a DeBoss or something.
Wish so. I could stumble upon Birdman.
Quote of the day.
Silence.
Sorry, I was reading the commission thing. Should we move on to Gaim?
Yeah.
It's Gaim time. Okay, so where we last left Gaim and Baron, they were in the mysterious zipper dimension. So after they land, I guess, they de-transform, and Kota's talking about how he found lock seeds there before, so Kaito just goes and starts picking a bunch of them. He's like, bitch, this is free! And he just starts getting a bunch of them. And Gaim runs into the hazmat suit guys, and they just run away scared. And then he gets attacked by Zangetsu, and he gets beaten by him pretty badly until he falls into a river and escapes somehow. Well, Zangetsu kind of left him alive, but we just didn't get to see him leave. And so Baron returns to the regular world, and he's like, I'm the new dealer now, son. Just give me one of those hats, and I'm set. And Mai and Michi go to see Kota, and he's like, what happened there? Shit got real, dog. I can be Gaim no more. And then he says goodbye to Uncle Ben in a dream. It's really sad. He throws the Gaim driver in the trash can. Jameson gets it. Wow, nothing? Come on. Not even just like a breathing noise. Couldn't even breathe.
I'm breathing.
So he's stopping being Gaim because he's so traumatized by Zangetsu beating him up. So Michi wants a way that he can help out. So he basically intimidates the Lockseed dealer into giving him a driver and the grape Lockseed. And so then when they're performing, the little weasel guy that's going to become Griton, almost said Triton, challenges them. So he then transforms into Ryugen, shocking everybody, and the beat writer guy's like, Bitaraida! And he starts like saying stuff excitedly, and Kota sees it on the iPad, and then it ends. So I thought this was another good episode. I'm still really enjoying the show quite a bit. I know it's only 4 episodes in, but it seems really strange still to have episodes, each episode be different, and we're not already in a 2-episode format.
Yeah.
Because they said they were changing it, I know that, but it just still seems sort of weird, because even like the first 2 episodes of Wizard were technically like a 2-parter thing. But yeah, what was I going to say? I just lost my train of thought. Oh, damn it. I had a point. Somebody talk while I'm thinking my point.
It's awesome.
There we go. I'm kidding.
Like, I mean, I said this on Twitter, but it's been four.
Yeah.
Really strong episodes in a row. And while there was, I mean, there's things that are obviously weird, because I feel like that's just going to be this show. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I love what they did with, Kota in this episode, in the fact that, I mean, episode 2, he's fucking playing with the orange lockseed, and he's like sitting over here going like stupid ass grin, orangey,
Remember when we used to do sound effects for all the summaries?
Yeah, that was fun.
Was he?
So he's over here going...
We know what he does, Brian.
Over and over again, making weird grinning faces, and now he's fucking in a fetal position crying. And it's only been 2 episodes. So this is gonna be a show, man. This is gonna be a show.
And again, the progression, though, makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like
it doesn't feel super rushed, because we kind of... Like, we've seen it. We understand why he is like that.
He basically almost got killed by Zangetsu, so...
It's kind of realistic, like, kind of like how we talked about in that episode, too, how we would react. Like, we'd be super excited and then try to figure out how to use it, and then as soon as it gets real, I don't think I want to do it anymore, guys. Like, it's really, like I said, a realistic reaction to it.
It's like, really, if I was threatened by Zangetsu and then almost killed in a zipper dimension, I probably would want to back off, too.
Because, you know, Kota is, out of the most recent protagonist we've got since Back to Double, I mean, he's a good guy, and he obviously cares about helping people, but he doesn't have that innate desire to help them through fighting, like, right away. Because, like, you know, Shotaro was very heroic. Eiji wanted to help people using the O's driver. Even Gentaro was really excited about helping people. And Haruto, obviously, we met him and he was already into it. So, him, like, he's just kind of like a regular guy. He's a good guy that, based on what Mai says a lot, is always putting others first, but he's never really done that in a physical way. So, it's kind of interesting to see that, where he's a good guy that wants to help people, but he's not quite ready to charge in fighting just yet.
Yeah. Well, not to mention the extent to which he was helping people with by being Gaim was just in the competition.
Yeah.
Like, it was just all playing. And he even mentions how even when he was fighting, dueling against Baron, which he didn't actually do, he never had that sense of, oh, I'm going to die. It was still just, you know, this is a game.
It was just a really awesome game.
We're just playing a game. So, it makes sense that once he runs into this guy who's legitimately trying to kill him, shit gets real. So, and I like it. I like that he freaked out, because, again, I think anybody who suddenly has superpowers and then has any amount of time to where, you know, there's no real threat. Those things kind of escaped a couple of times, but I don't know. It didn't really seem like it wasn't a consistent thing. That didn't seem to them like that was a consistent thing, like there was always going to be this threat.
Yeah, we talked just about accidents. That, if I remember right. There was no real threat going on right now.
Yeah, and now it feels like, oh god, if I ever transform again, now I'm going to get hurt, and it's going to be specifically aimed at me. Sorry, my computer tried to go to sleep, so I got distracted.
Wake up, bitch. Your computer's playing the role of Kevin tonight.
But I think kind of what to summarize what you just said, like, the show's so real, which is weird talking
so real with all this fruit stuff.
Talking about a show involving fruit warriors.
Well, I mean, it's definitely like a fantasy situation, but realistic actions, realistic reactions, and
I like it because I feel like we haven't really gotten too much of that lately. I mean, you could argue Haruto was fairly real. Gentaro is unrealistically goody. And, I almost feel Eiji was unrealistically nice. But that's what I love
about him. For the most part, they tend to be.
And so to have a character that is basically pretty much an everyday average Joe is really cool and fun to see, and I just really dig what they're doing so far, and I love these toys.
I also really like I really like that zipper dimension. Like, I really like the vibe, like the real sort of almost alienish vibe you get when they go there.
It's kind of pretty.
And I wonder where they filmed that, because it's not a filter.
But they actually found
the second
a place,
time we've made that joke.
They well, found a place in Japan with luscious shrubbery and weird fruit.
I thought there was a place with purple plants. Like, it was just covered all purple. Like, it's not a filter. Are you sure? I mean, why don't you go ask him at the Secret Ninja Academy? Anyway, but I really like that world, and something we kind of talked about, I think, in the first discussion or the second one. I really like how just intriguing the universe is, and I'm looking forward to every week just because I want more answers about everything, which kind of does, I think they're doing a good job of reminding me of the format of the way the older series were before Double. Mm-hmm. With like the not two story arcs and just like coming back to find out more about what's this character's deal, what's going on with this universe, because there's a lot more mystery involved, which I really like. It has a really good score too.
Just to move on to some of the other parts of the show, I really like Baron still.
He's a really fun character.
Yeah, I like that his first reaction to being in that dimension was, okay, question where we are, get a handle on how I can get out, and once he learned that the seeds were actually the lock seeds, collect as many as I can.
He just like collects an entire vine of them.
And then when I get back, now that I have an easy way in and out of this place, sell them.
That kind of opened up, you know, probably how, you know, the dealer gets it and could possibly open up later, yeah, finding out like how and why he got access to it, which is kind of nice.
And we also know now, like, essentially how Greedon and Kurakage are kind of on his side.
Yeah.
He more or less bribes them.
You
kind
look
of
for me now.
Like, he says, here, I'm going to give you lock seeds so that you can actually be competitive. And in return, you're working for me. So I liked that. He took advantage of the situation that he was in. It was very smart of him. and does match the personality of the character that we've known so far. He's all about the strength and, you know, being the strongest one around and having control of the lock seeds definitely puts him in that position.
Like I
like
said, these characters
life
are real.
Like bananas.
Oh yeah, he doesn't like bananas. It's like, so people know me as the banana guy now, so I feel like I have to like them.
Like, kids are going to see me in public and expect me to be eating bananas, so I got to get over it.
And it was fun to find out that he was going to be Gokai Red.
He does kind of look like him. Like,
I know, he mentioned that he looks like Ryuta, and that's the Gokai Red's actor. And like that was when I first seen him, that was the first thing I thought. I was like, shit, he looks like Gokai Red. Turns out he was gonna be Gokai Red, so it worked out in the end, really.
Yeah,
I wonder why he turned it down.
I think he
had another job or something.
He had he had another show to do or something.
Hmm.
He's very busy.
I don't know why you would turn down fucking Sentai.
What if he had gotten it and then Gokai Red was Baron? You know, I'm just picturing Captain Marvelous in that zipper world just picking lock seeds.
I don't know. It's probably just because I'm so used to him as Gokai Red, but I can't really picture him as an asshole type.
Yeah.
Like, they look alike, but he's just got a lot, like, I don't know, nicer.
Wait, Baron has a sterner presence.
Yeah.
Marvelous is a little more laid back.
Marvelous is someone you just want to hang out with and have drinks.
He's kind of like he was kind of a jerk too, though. But it was more like a Kabuto thing, where it would be like, "Why is this guy being such a dick?" And then you're like, "Oh, because he's the only one that knows what's really going on." Thank you.
We'll segue with that into Michi. I like Michi. If you didn't know anything about the show going in, and you didn't, for whatever reason, watch the opening sequence, I don't think you would really suspect him to be a writer. He was kind of an unassuming character for the first couple of episodes. But yeah, he's got this like underlying edge to him that I kind
of
dig.
Yeah, because he intimidated the fuck out of the guy. He's like, I'm gonna fire you someday. Like, I thought everybody quit. They no, I fired them, and you're next. So do you want to come work here?
Well, heck, even when he was talking to his brother, he made this like remark about everything in his life being a distraction, and even Zangetsu was kind of like, what?
He gives me like this weird vibe, and it reminds me a little bit of some sort of weird mix between the guy with the stupid teeth from Blade and Kaiza. In like, he's overall in some aspects a decent person, and then he's got these like these weird underlying, like, I'm gonna fuck you up.
You know, I would say Kaiza was a decent person.
Yeah.
I think, worst. In terms of, like, why... Well, maybe not why he wants to be Ryugen, but I think a good part of him meant well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't feel like he became Ryugen out of any sort of malicious intent. He definitely wanted to help his friends, specifically girl.
My. Just don't like me.
Well, I... Yeah.
yeah.
But, and, like, he did make some good points against her argument of Coda, and...
Yeah, I like how he kind of put an end to that, because I thought that was kind of annoying how Kota was being obviously selfless and she was getting upset at him about it, and he's like, can't you just see he's a good person, is basically what he said to her. It's like, it seemed weird that she was getting upset that Kota was basically just being a nice guy.
God damn it, you stupid bitch.
So I don't know, I feel like Michi is, I think he means well, and I think for the most part he's a nice person, but he does have that sort of, just that tone about him sometimes, where it's like, I don't know what to expect from this character.
With a mix like that, I feel like he's going to end up being a character that kind of is one of those do anything for who they're trying to protect sort of people. And it might turn into a situation where he does something absolutely asshole-ish to another character in order to protect Mai or Kota or whoever it is at the time.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he would literally just, like, do whatever the fuck it takes to make sure that everyone's safe.
I think there'll be some interesting conflict down the road, too, with, you know, his friends being Gaim and then his brother being Zangetsu. Because in that war scene, he was by Zangetsu's side, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So there's going to be some interesting stuff there. I can feel it.
Man, Dawson knows.
I know. I can feel it. To be fair, I'm wrong 97% of the time.
I did think it was strange that the episode didn't really show off his fight scene. Like, it just kind of showed off clips. I kind of wonder if we're going to actually see it at the beginning of next episode, or if that really was the extent of his introduction.
I kind of assumed we'd see it at the beginning.
Because it was just like, we just saw like Kota watching it on that little iPad thing, and like he was launching off what looked like his finisher and against the monster. So And we know he obviously wins, but at that point he had already won, so.
What if he loses? Like, he just dies in the first episode. Someone else for Ryugen, actually. It's just some guy.
It's actually Guy. Gokai Silver's back for another Toku.
Is he going to be naked in this one? Probably not. He's going to be all naked except for, like, he's going to cover his privates with fruit.
That's gross.
I feel like there was something else, but I think we covered a good chunk of, well, pretty much everything.
I think so. Maya's still annoying.
She was better than she was the last episode. I found her pretty annoying last episode. Just because I couldn't really get a grasp on where she was coming from. Because she was bitching to Coda because he was
helping
them. And it's like, I don't know, the way she's explaining it doesn't make sense. I could understand her being annoyed if it was like, I don't know, him taking pity on them or him coming back despite having already quit once. And it does feel kind of like, again, to use the word betrayal, but like he already left them once. Now he comes back just because it's convenient, which he did partially. But I don't know, the way she explained it in the episode, where it just sounded more like she was upset that he was helping people.
Yeah, pretty much. And it was especially funny last week because she was like, you're always like taking out of your own life to help other people. And it seemed especially funny last week because he was obviously enjoying himself being Guy. And like, he had this big grin on his face, and it's like, obviously he's not miserable. It's not like he's doing data entry or something. It's like, clearly he's enjoying this. I don't know why you're getting so upset, lady. It's not like I made a Blue's Clues joke. Silence. More silence.
Yeah.
You reminded me of his sister, and I really don't like her.
Kevin's sister? I know she sounds like she's from Brooklyn, but the one that's like, you shouldn't enjoy your job, eat vegetables. Yeah. God,
well, I don't think that's what she said.
Well, she cooked vegetables, so it was implied.
No, it was just funny how, because I mean, I'm sitting here watching it, and his sister was like talking about how like doing a job is making people happy, and I'm sitting here going, yeah, I sit on my ass and play with toys in front of a camera.
That makes people happy, except for the card videos, which you have no soul in.
I love the comments on those. It's fun.
I want you to like freak out in the next one.
I'm going to
like jump out, start tossing the cards everywhere. Just cut to you like tearing your room up, just like freaking out.
I'm going to fourth Power Ranger set's gonna be the next one. It's gonna be fun.
You should get like a really good card and then eat it.
You should, like, if you pull like the psycho card or something, just make a print of it and be like, oh my god, I can't believe I got it, and just eat it on camera.
I seriously watched a guy do that. He had gotten like this exclusive card. It was for Magic the Gathering, and he had gotten it way before the line had ever came out. So he's showing it off in this video to kind of promote the thing, and then he's like, now I can do whatever I want with this because I'm not going to play the game, and then he ate it. It was hilarious.
That's amazing.
Because you know there's like people out there who are like, no, don't do that. Just like cringing.
Like, it's hysterical to me that people will just like sit there and go, man, you're not excited. I mean, they're fucking cards, man. What do you want me to do? Like, oh man, you pulled an EX, you're not even excited. Yeah, because it's a shitty EX. It's like, it's a good fucking card. I got two goddamn Kyurem EXs, and they're awful. They're not good in any deck ever. Just because it says EX at the end doesn't mean I'm going to jump for joy.
Everybody's getting mad.
I'm not even excited. Oh, that's Iris. I hate Iris. Iris is a bitch. God, I hate people.
The worst.
Hear that, people? I hate you. You in particular. I'm pointing at you.
Thanks. I know you're pointing at me.
Man, you caught me.
That sounded... Man, you caught me.
But you, over there, I see you sitting there.
Yeah, that one, over there.
Cool. Yeah. We cool.
We good, we good.
We good, we good.
What are we talking about?
God, I don't know.
Is there another segment? Or
yeah, we have to talk about like Power Rangers. Okay, so... Now it's time for Meg Force Samurai Shichuki.
Cha! I even pushed it early.
You had to push it earlier.
I like how earlier you were like, remember when we used to use sound effects on our podcast?
That is an intro theme, sir. But I remember back when Kevin would be like, oh man, which one of us has got this toy in because we need it for the cast?
Yeah, I was a like, listener when that was going on.
And he was like, I can't listen to this shit anymore. And Brian's like, excuse me? Aw, oh, hell nah.
Yeah, it was specifically because of that.
No. I knew it.
Makes sense. Okay, so this is episode 16, The Human Factor. Not to be confused with The X Factor.
Something about Simon Cowell and Saban.
I have no idea. Alright, so something about the planet. Emma's really fucking creepy. Like, for real.
Right when you said that, Looker just said, Emma!
So, Vrak has finally finished his underwater Mantarantis lab that he never mentioned at any point before this, but it's finally done.
Get Catfish out of his
And so helpful. He decided that the insects were stupid, the mutants were stupid, so he's going to use robots, because robots are awesome. So he activates a robot called Metal Alice, who is in no way a reference to Alice in Wonderland, we learned that. who then creates a robot named Rotox. Not to be confused with Botox.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so confused, Brian. Thank you for clearing that up. I was like, Botox? What?
You're welcome, Dotham. Just for you. Meanwhile, Emma and Gia have more lesbian moments, and then Jake gets stuck in a trash can. So they find the robot, they morph, they get their asses kicked. Robo Knight arrives, and he also gets his ass kicked. More ass kicking. More nonsense about protecting the Earth and being strong, because that's what they do. So they go Ultra, after some more ass-kicking, they Ultra Ghost State Dynamic Rotox, and Rotox blows up. Robo Knight points out that robots can be repaired, so they're, like, kind of a cool deal. And, the robots, no, the others, not the robots, they're worried about how Ghost State Knight was, hesitant to attack another robot because he's like, oh, I can't attack my brethren, they're robots. Beep, bop, boop. So they go and get ice cream, and then it gets interrupted again because Lord knows these people can never eat their fucking ice cream. They order it and then it just sits there.
This is a waste.
I feel bad for the ice cream. Like, it needs to be eaten. For real. So Rotox is back, and he is now Rotox DX because he got lessons from Zeron Zephyr. Everyone gets completely obliterated. Metal Alice is talking to Robo Knight, and she's basically just sitting there going, you know, we don't actually want to hurt the Earth. We just kind of want to enslave all the humans and, you know, build shit and stuff. I mean...
Build shit. It works for this.
I mean, the humans are kind of what caused all this pollution and shit anyway, so, you know, they're the real villain. And then she...
I'm sorry, I can hear hippies. Ron Swanson would say to her. He would.
So Robo Knight's like, I'm confused. And he, like, goes on top of that same building he always goes on top of. The Rangers arrive again, and they get owned again. Robo Knight arrives again, and tells Metal Alice that she's a bitch, and he will continue to fight for the humans. And so they combine their powers, destroy Rotax DX. Zombats, which are now Zombots or Bolts or something of that extent. They're still Zombats to me. And they summon Gosei Ultimate and Gosei Grand, and then they Ultimate Charge, and they win. And everyone's like, yay, robots and humans and Earth and stuff.
Yay!
Yay! So this was ultimately better than the last episode.
It was the Halloween episode,
and,
so yeah.
Exactly. And this is ultimately way better than the next episode, I think, because the next episode is about this robot who is good.
Not one of those episodes.
I don't like those episodes usually. And I don't think I like the Ghost Sager adaption.
We've got four episodes.
I literally just said Ghost Sager adaption. Wow. It is late.
But we only have like four or five episodes left. We can't be wasting time on this shit.
We've got, if, I think this is episode 16. Because I think I properly...
17 next week.
Because I didn't mention a episode number for the Halloween one because I got confused. So if this is 16 like it's supposed to, yeah, we've got three episodes. 17, 18, 19, or four episodes. I math good.
So we don't have time for this. Ain't nobody got time for that.
We don't have time for Rico the robot.
Yeah, Rico.
Get the fuck out.
Time for your shenanigans.
But no, I mean, it wasn't a horrendously awful episode. It was probably one of Megaforce's stronger episodes. Mostly because I get good vibes from it because it was when Ghost Sager started to get really interesting. So I always liked the whole Mantarintis, Metal Alice, and everything. But I mean, Robo Knight shouldn't get confused like that because he is the show's minimal saving grace. So, you know, you need to be better than that. But kill the humans anyway because they're awful. But, you know, I mean, I didn't hate it. It was a thing.
No, I agree. I thought it was one of the strongest episodes. I do like that. I thought Metal Alice's whole deal with Robo Knight sort of worked better here because he's a robot, which I thought was nice to take advantage of.
The argument with Gosei Knight was just that they weren't harming the Earth, right?
Yeah. And it's essentially the same thing, but because he's a robot, it created this sort of conflict because of that whole, like, they're my kind type deal, which I thought kind of benefited nicely and made Robo Knight's dilemma seem more real. I mean, Gosei Knight seemed less real because he'd been working with him for longer and he's actually a living thing. I thought that was interesting the way they handled that. And, the original footage of...
They recreated the base really well.
Yeah, it looked good.
I'll give them props there. It looked really nice.
Obviously, it was original because that form of Rack was long, or Braidran was long gone by this time in the show. Mm-hmm. And I said that on Twitter, but I really do like how they sort of tied the three villains together through him.
Yeah.
And then they're going to, you know, ultimately tie him to Zangak. And even though it looks like we're going to have the same crappy writing as Samurai next year, according to Ranger Crew, but it's still, I think they did a good job of tying it all together. And if the show was a lot better, it actually has a pretty decent storyline in that respect. Just because it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, actually, I really do like Rock. I think he's probably one of the stronger villains we've had in a while, and it benefits a lot that Bladeran ended up being one of probably my favorite Sentai villains. They tied everything together well in a way that's different, as opposed to Bladeran, Brigilla, whatever, kind of just sort of weaseling his way into these different factions.
Factions.
I said fractions. I took over one half, and now I will take over a quarter.
We can think of a way to do fractions.
Watch it, 1/8, you're next. okay, the factions. Where was I going with this?
Instead of weaseling his way in.
Oh, yeah, and just basically making it to where he's this, in a sense, like, space villain royalty that basically just hired these individual groups to do his shit. And meanwhile, he's sitting here going, well, these guys suck. These guys are dead. I guess we'll just use robots, because they, I mean, the Rangers are using robots. They're doing really damn good, so why don't
robots.
I use robots? Robots! And so I really like it, and I read some, like, the spoiler things, and the finale is actually going to be really fun, I think. And I agree with what you said about how it's a shame that the show as a whole has such kind of crappy writing and overall incredibly crappy pacing, thanks to the whole 20 episode bit. Because if this was like Disney style PR, to where we had a 32 episode season, I actually think Megaforce would have a shot at being really strong.
Yeah.
But thanks to their current band of writers, which, I mean, are better than the Samurai writers that we're eventually going to get next season again. While they're ultimately better than that, I don't think they're as strong as anything in the Disney era or even the early Saban era. So I think that's a shame because it had a lot of potential to be really good.
Yeah, because these writers put in a lot of original ideas and they made the interactions feel a lot more natural. At times.
Right, and even the moments that are kind of direct from Sentai, in I think it warrants a little bit more with Megaforce compared to Samurai, because the bits from Samurai that were copied are just so noticeably copied.
Yeah.
Because of the whole Shinkenger being so Samurai and so Japanese, that when things were copied, it just didn't quite make sense. Because of basically just how Americans work. It didn't quite mesh well. But with Ghost Sager and Megaforce, there really wasn't that sort of barrier in place. So even the ones that are directly copied, much like all the previous shows that weren't Samurai, it's not as bothersome. And there really isn't too many points where if it's directly copied, it doesn't make sense. So in that regard, I feel like Megaforce could have been a really strong season if they just had that sort of push anymore, and they really don't.
Yeah. But it's really a shame that, because the writers we have right now obviously aren't the best writers, but they could have continued into Super Megaforce a lot better. And I think that the 20 episodes-ish actually could have worked for Ghost Sager if they just tightened it up a bit and not spent so much time on those useless filler episodes.
Yeah.
Because you don't have time for that. And the Ghost Sager was a lot of padding, so they could have woven the story into the 20 episodes, and it creates a really interesting premise for I think using the two seasons mechanic of the idea that our war stars were introduced and these villains are introduced throughout the series, and then at the end you're like, hey, we won, oh shit, we're being attacked by Frack's brother. I think that's really interesting for PR, because we usually don't have the two seasons, and it was certainly a better way of handling it than last year, and it is kind of unfortunate that that exciting cliffhanger might just go into mediocrity next season.
It will.
It's super annoying. But thank God the Green Ranger movie will save us. Oh God, I killed Brian. I was just kidding.
Oh my God. No, I completely forgot that was a thing until you just said it. I can't believe I got to bring that up earlier. Fucking Jason Aaron Frank's over here filming the goddamn PG-13 Green Ranger movie trailer with one of his buddies or something. Give it a rest.
Garage.
Jesus Christ.
I'm just picturing like this really cheaply made trailer where JDF's just doing parkour and like doing random punches and be like, shit, bullshit. And they're like, the return of the Green Ranger. And he just puts like the Chris Nolan Batman soundtrack over it to make it seem all epic.
Like, I I hate the idea of that MMPR fan film, and I hate the idea of this Green Ranger movie from Jason David Frank, so I'm tired of all these people trying to make fucking Power Rangers this goddamn dark, gritty thing. Just leave it the fuck alone. It's a kid's show. Christ. I mean, they did it with Transformers, and look at everyone bitching about that.
Everyone bitches about everything. Well, because it retroactively ruined their childhoods. That's what would happen here. I mean, your childhood's erased if you watch it.
I just thought it sucked.
And aesthetically, it did. So, aesthetically?
Aesthetically? No, it was aesthetically, it's a pretty movie.
Well, it was a pretty movie. I think some of the designs sucked, but I dig designs more along lines of, like, Prime and Animated and stuff. I got tired of the movie aesthetic really fast, but why are we talking about this during the Power Rangers segment?
I don't know.
Because I was bitching about gritty reboots. Not like the YouTube channel, because they're pretty fun. Like, legit gritty reboots.
I'm just trying to think of other, like, cartoons or stuff that we watched when we were kids that could have, like, gritty reboots.
Rugrats.
Rugrats.
Beyond the Pen. Hey, Arnold.
They can try to bring Thundercats back again as a gritty movie franchise.
With Will Friedle, like, decked out in, like, fur.
Oh. Oh. Live action?
Yeah. It's gotta be live action, dude, because every gritty cartoon show is being redone live action. Except Mr. Peabody and Sherman. They get a cartoon.
Little Bear.
Little... Oh, my God. Gritty reboot. Little Bear. Fuck yeah.
It's just an actual bear.
They could do a Grimdark reboot of
Out for Revenge.
A Bear in the Big Blue House, and it's just about a terrifying bear that lives in a big blue house.
Oh my God. What was it called? Bananas in Pajamas or something like that?
Oh God, it could be frightening.
I hated that fucking show, but it would be so hilarious to see something gritty with it.
Teletubbies. It's already a gritty reboot. That Baby Son. The stuff nightmares are made of, man. Tinky Winky. Rah rah. Pow.
Just do the whole Nick Jr.'s lineup.
Oh, that would be great.
That way you can have face in the movie. Gritty face.
Hi there. Face here. Why so serious? I think my favorite would, though, be the gritty reboot of The Big Comfy Couch. It would swallow you whole.
It's got, like, fucking teeth and shit. It makes snarly noises. Stupid clown bitch gets eaten in the first 5 minutes.
Think about how suggestive it was when she went on the floor and made the clock with her legs. Like,
oh my God.
They could do a porn reboot of The Big Comfy Couch.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry. It started rolling. I couldn't stop it. The idea train was going.
Oh my God, I just died. Oh my God, we have to move on. Oh.
Luckily, we're going to a much saner version of us.
Because now it's time for Ramble, Ramble, Ramble time.
Yeah! We got here fast. So this week's going to be a jam-packed ramble time filled to the brim with 3 shows. More like 2.5 with Pokemon being there.
That's true.
Speaking of Pokemon.
There was a Dredagon. Yeah.
It was orange and green, and he was very angry because someone was in his house. And it was Claire, and she's like, I like dragons, and Iris like, me too. And then Claire's like, shut the fuck up, you dumb bitch. And then she punched her. I wish that's what happened.
I like dragons. I like dragons apart. Too. Shut the fuck up.
I couldn't tell the two Dragonites apart.
They were both, like, angry.
Well, because usually that's how you tell Iris is Dragonite is so distinct, because Dragonites always have this happy look on their face, but Iris is so upset. So usually you can distinguish them, but they were both very upset. Lovely. But yeah, it was an episode. Excuse me. I think that's the only time she appears, but I guess that makes sense for why at the end of the series Iris is going to go to Johto, because I guess she's going to go visit Claire. I don't know why Cylon's there. He just didn't want to be alone, I guess.
Even though Cylon is alone, because he's alone when he meets up with Brock.
Yeah, because Iris ditched him. He's like, where should we go next, Iris? Iris? And she's just hiding up in a tree. And then she just swung all the way to Johto. Although they got on a train at the end of the series, so there goes my swinging theory. But she ditched him on the train. She just dove off. Oh, that's when the train's supposed to go off. But in other news, Jesse and James are getting the coolest Pokemon in X and Y.
Pretty much.
James already got Inkay.
I saw you mentioned that on Twitter. I tried to look it up. I couldn't find anything about it.
It was like a Gashapon listing or something. A toy listing.
It was all Rockets.
Show their Pokemon. Yeah, and I guess just James getting Pancham and Jesse's getting Leo.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. That's pretty neat. I didn't really expect that. Honestly, I thought that even though I was just getting the bird, I kind of thought he was going to get it since that's like one of the only fire types. But unless they just do decide to bring back Charizard again for Mega. But that's really neat. They've got a lot of my favorite Pokemon from this gen.
And there's still one mystery. I'm probably going to go to Jesse.
Well, she's got two, and James has got two. Does she usually have three? I guess she does. Because she had three in Sinnoh. Did she? Because she had Seviper and Dustox and Wobbuffet. Did she have Wobbuffet in Sinnoh? Yeah. Damn it, Brian, I'm talking to myself here.
Well, I don't know.
You're just sitting there like, Wobbuffet.
Up until Unova, didn't she?
Yeah.
I think so. It's just been so long. And then, I don't remember. I honestly don't remember why she got rid of Dustox. I just remember her getting in Mega. Because, like, it's impossible for her party to have more than three people. Yep. Good talk, me. We really knocked that one out. But yeah, Pokemon. Sometimes talking to myself about Pokemon.
I'm playing Pokemon, if that counts for anything.
So am I. Okay, well then I guess that's over. Ben 10 then? The Forever Knights? Forever Knights? Brian, make new villains! That's Brian's response. This was a better episode. I enjoyed it a lot more than I have the last couple weeks with the Secret Saturdays and the Vreedle shits. I don't remember what their plan was. Their plan was like, oh yeah, it was a machine to like kill everyone or something like that. And that reporter guy got turned into an alien. Totally, right? I mean, come on. Sorry. I just started talking to myself again.
I wonder if that's going to be like a main plot line.
I bet it will. I don't know if we'll for sure stay in it forever, but it's at least going to be into whatever his next episode is. Now I'm watching next time, he'll just show up normal. But that was definitely kind of funny. But this guy's such a dick.
I hate that guy.
I like how in the last series, they like redesigned the Forever Knights to make the Silver version. And then later they explained it as different factions. And now they're just all kind of run together.
They look so lame, though. Like, I've never enjoyed the full armor ones, just because they look so plain.
Wasn't there only the one guy in the suit, like the bigger guy, and then everyone else was in like the old school ones with the masks?
Yeah.
Did anybody remember that boss guy? They're like, oh, Gio. I'm like, yeah, get him. I didn't remember him.
I tend to forget anything related to the Forever Knight, so...
Yeah, pretty much.
They
should be interesting, but they're not. Like, that's the only thing I care about the Forever Knights. is that I should like them, and they should have better storylines, but they just don't.
They dicked around with them so much in the last series. Like, they rewrote them, like, in the first seasons of Alien Force, that they were joined because they fought a dragon alien. And then, like, they're like, oh, but another faction had to do with that sword that Azmuth made, because we have to tie everything to aliens. And then there was, like, another faction beyond that we hadn't seen before.
That was really convoluted.
Yeah, and then they fought those people that could just, like, walk through nothing. The Squid Patrol. They, like, worshipped Dagon. Squid Patrol. I don't know. They were really into him, so they're like, oh, we're gonna do stuff. That was brilliant. Just aimlessly wandering around Lumio City looking for tickets instead of looking up where they're supposed to be. Stupid France. Don't even have Pop-Tart ice cream sandwiches.
It's not France's fault you can't look at your Holocaster.
Yes, it is, because it's in French. French makes my eyes bleed. Sorry, French listeners again. I wonder if we have any. If you're French,
I feel like we did this last week.
We did.
But we insulted the French fans.
I don't think there's any. Suck it, French fans. I think you're so cool with your baguettes. Bitch, it's called bread. Get over yourselves. I don't care if you can sword fight with it. Speaking of sword fighting, Damble. There's swords and fighting. This totally works.
So this was actually really good. There's two episodes.
The first one was kind of strange. Like, it wasn't terrible, but it was just strange that we focused an entire episode on this background character and his history of accidentally shooting his friend. Even though he's on an opposing team, and he's like, I'll never pick up a rifle again.
His hair annoyed me.
Yeah, it, like, does things that hair doesn't do.
Like,
I think I saw a growl that
it, like, connects in two places on his head and, like, circles in front of his eyes. I'm like, why would you ever style it like that? That doesn't look like a hairstyle. It looks like something is growing out of your head. And it's inconveniencing your vision, and it just happens to look like your hair.
I'm glad this is, like, what we took away from the episode, apparently.
Sorry.
Hair chips.
It's a living creature, actually, curled up on his head.
Well, the only other thing I really noticed was that he was using Proto One's gun.
I would have never seen that.
So, scene.
Good eye.
Well, I noticed it because I have it sitting on my shelf over there.
I thought it was kind of funny that this episode was sort of like a playoff of a storyline you'll see, like, in a movie. Like, a soldier accidentally shot friendly fire and he can't get over it, but it's with tiny robots. And it was the opposing side. So it's like someone getting mad they shot the wrong bad guy. No, man, I was aiming for that one. And I shot the one. I'll never pick up a gun again. I don't know why he's like southern. I just thought it was funny.
But, I'll never give up a gun again.
But the main stuff happened in 29, I think it was, where Bandit just doesn't give a fuck anymore, and they're just out. They decided to come out of the Bandit closet, and they're like, fuck, let's just mix the Bandit forces with Elzederm. I just love how abrupt it was. Like, I thought there was going to be some sort of either, like, someone investigating it or, like, a big reveal, but they were just like, you know what? Fuck it. We look evil. Pretty soon someone's going to figure it out.
They capture the city. All the territory belongs to the places.
Everyone's like, what?
And they're like, but Bandit. Oh, shit.
And we saw the first appearance of Phantom in forever. And it stole that poor little dude's robot heart.
I love how the principal was talking to I can't remember his name, the teacher who's in charge of the bandits. And he's like, you've finally shown your true colors. And I'm like, really? He's been evil the whole time, and it's been really noticeable. He's got red eyes. But not only that, he's already been under suspicion because all of his troops look like bandits.
Not to mention that, like, crazy speech he gave, like, a few episodes ago. He was like, death to all, this war is a sham, I hate everything.
Yeah, that was in the episode, was it in 26 or 27? I don't know, because I was all behind and watched things out of order.
It's in 26. Yeah.
You're in 26.
I know.
But, yeah.
And I don't know why you had to flip it around.
But that was pretty funny that they just kind of decided to stop caring about their secret identity. And they're like, it was funny because I was arguing, like, in my head, because they're like, well, some forces disguise themselves. I'm like, well, yeah, but you disguised yourself before you've been officially a country. I'm like, it doesn't matter any of these rationalizations, because either way, the little snot's going to rat you out if you fire him. What a little fuck. Why don't they just tie him up? Like, I'm just sleeping. Just tie him to the bed. He'll be like, ha, ah, you little shit. He's like 12. Come on, Crowler, get him.
It's such a simple solution. Just hold him hostage.
Just have that sniper guy get him. Just tell him to aim for the guy next to him and he'll get him.
Tell him to get him with this tiny robot.
And so Rushus is gone now, I guess, and
they said that they were still around because they moved their headquarters.
They lost their best guy. They're fucked.
It's just that I guess they're such a small country now that they traded off their ace team or something. Like, something is weird with them, but they said that they were still around.
It just seemed like they maybe dissembled just because, like, I remember, I feel like the scene right before that was when Senna was like, what are you guys going to do? He's like, I don't fucking know. Like, I was talking to this vaguely with Brian yesterday because we didn't want to spoil it for you, but it's funny how Senna feels all bad because of that, what happened to Rushus because of what Bandit did, but they took out, like, 3/4 of their country. Like, Bandit finished the job of, like, completely weakening them, but it was episode after episode of Genok just handing them their asses.
Yeah, but Genok didn't make them all go lost.
That's true.
Genok just made them, like, lose all their territory.
Territory captured. But it's just kind of funny that they did most of the work. But we talked about that several times, whether he might join them or how that would work. And I actually thought about it at the beginning of the episode when they were talking about moving their base. I'm like, is that even possible? Like, can they do that? Because I thought that maybe that within the next episode or so, that Rushus was going to go completely out, but somehow he would be able to join Genok. But apparently he is now, and he's going to get his new robot, and it's going to have a new sticker on it.
Hey, you guys mentioned yesterday that something happened within the episodes that we had been talking about on the podcast, and I watched the 2 episodes just kind of waiting. I'm like, well, what could it be? I don't really, you know, I can't think of anything that we've talked about. It did not even occur to me that Hojo would join them, because I honestly didn't think it would be a good idea. But I guess the show did.
It's because I said it. My stupid ideas are the best.
They're listening. Skype guy. Skype guy's, like, in contact with all the major networks. Don't you know that? And he's touched that we're, like, the only ones that acknowledge him. I mean, it's like a story about him. I'm just going to run up my tab of this cab to go all the places that I ride. Think of all these stupid looker places.
I haven't seen any reviews of Magna Orbis or whatever the fuck his new thing is called. Purple wolf looking thing.
I don't know if you've seen reviews for those.
But it looks cool. I still haven't built Vol Diver. I was going to build one, then I realized I boxed up all my unbuilt LBXs. I don't feel like opening the box.
I still haven't built Vol Diver or Triton.
I just
haven't felt like building anything. Like, I was in this mood for a couple weeks when I was just wanting to build one every week, but now I'm just like, oh, I think I'll just watch TV.
I think it's because we were consistently talking about Dan Ball, and then we just stopped because we couldn't anymore. Yeah.
Kaidojin.
Has any news come down the line of, like, any newer ones? Because the last time I checked, it was just Hojo's new one.
Past the Hojo's new one. No, there's a new... The hyper function, I think it's Ifrit, is coming out. But outside of that, I don't think I've seen any solicitations for anything else.
Solicitations?
That's what they're called.
I know, it just sounds funny.
You sound funny.
Well, that's just true, but I just realized I forgot to pre-order that, dude. I'll have to put it in my November order. Purple Man.
Purple Man.
And I just realized they took me to Magneto Plaza, and then I just started moving the controller, and I lost the Pokemon Center. Where is it? I spent 2,000 Poke Dollars on this cab ride. It is not going to go to waste. So, but yeah, that's actually pretty much it for Ramble Time. This week was pretty barren. There's no turtles. Praxis. Oh, God.
Trying not to say it. Actually, I was trying to think of a better pun. Something actually, about bananas.
The first thing I still think of is Baron Praxis. From Jack. But yeah, no turtles this week. Batman's been effectively canceled. what else? What else?
Forgot that.
Has there been any news regarding Batman? Like,
not that I have seen since it was pulled. You know, because we were pulled a week ago.
Like,
I think
it's
last
not
week.
Like Batman toys don't really sell. I mean, they don't sell good, but there's always a shelf presence.
Well, they don't have any toy line for Boy the Batman right now.
I know, but that's like my point. Like, I don't. Why is it not a thing?
I don't know. They really need to do planning better. Like Power Rangers does. The toy line is out well before the series. So that way, once you see the show and it premieres and you're all excited and you're like, I gotta buy something for this, like we do because we're children, then you can go to the store and find it. But they don't have any like toy lines at the same time as their stuff airs. It's like, well, the Green Lantern toy line didn't sell. Well, you didn't make one. Well, shut up. And that's how Green Lantern was canceled.
Well, they didn't make the toys because the movie toys didn't sell.
Well, yeah, but they didn't even give it a chance, Brian. The point is, I miss Green Lantern. And I miss Young Justice. It feels like all the shows are getting killed off. Even the most okay Batman show ever couldn't survive.
Because I just did a quick search, and the most recent news story about it is just an interview about a comic series attached to the animated series starting up soon.
That's
so either they just
generic.
Have awful timing, or I don't know. Because they mentioned the hiatus in this, but it doesn't mention anything about the show coming back, or I don't know.
Well, usually hiatuses doesn't involve removing the show completely from the schedule. Yeah. To play reruns of Teen Titans Go.
Oh, God. At least play reruns of something good.
I hate that show.
Green Lantern.
No more of that. They lost Star Wars and Four Cartoon Network. All they have is Pokemon and Ben 10 now. The DC Nation blog is more like DC Gathering. It's like not even that. It's just the Teen Titans. You got one show. Marvel's got more shows for their whatever the Marvel block's called, but they all suck. They're the worst. The best thing in the Marvel block is the dubs overs of the old shows. I actually find those to be pretty funny.
I really just don't want like the DC shows to go the way of the Marvel shows, because I don't really like the Marvel cartoons.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. Ultimate Spider-Man can be okay sometimes, but it's just not worth it.
Well, it's just like we've had two really good DC shows with Young Justice and Green Lantern, and then Beware the Batman was okay. I never really felt outright frustrated with it, but you know, it was just okay compared to the other two. But all three of the shows, at least, you know, you could at least take them a bit seriously. They had their moments, and they were, for the most part, enjoyable to watch. And I don't know. I don't want to see just another Teen Titans Go type of cartoon show up because that one happens to be doing better than the other three.
Like, all this goofy shit is, like, what's doing well on TV now, and it's kind of depressing.
I think it's annoying because I think shows that aren't like that can do well, but they definitely can do well. Well, yeah, but that's the thing is that right now all they have is the goofy shit, and they're seeing it do well, so they're thinking that's the only thing that works.
Yeah.
Which is annoying, because they're not only seeing it from Teen Titans Go, but I'm sure they're watching Marvel's show, because Ultimate Spider-Man's obviously doing good, because I think it got renewed for a third season. So, that's what's annoying, is that they're looking in the wrong places. It's pretty frustrating, because, like a year ago, there was just so much awesome stuff to watch on the weekend, with the Green Lantern, and Young Justice, and Clone Wars, and the Thundercats used to be around for a while, and there's some else I'm forgetting, but everything's dead. Things die. The world is a cold place where dreams go to die.
It feels like everything happened at once, too. Like, Batman went off, Parks and Rec.
Everything's the worst.
Because I got to Saturday morning and turned on my DVR and realized that I only had Ben 10 to watch. And I'm like, what the hell happened?
What has happened to my life?
Last week, I had just awesome stuff to watch. And this week, nothing but Ben 10. Which, I'm not hating on Ben 10. It's just, I wanted a little bit more.
Yeah. There used to be quite a bit that we had to watch, but
at least, like, Korra and Turtles should be coming back, right?
Yeah,
everything should be back next week.
Korra was just off because they doubled up last week, which was understandable. Because they have such a small episode count, they gotta stretch it out a little bit. I don't know why Turtles off. I guess just random break. Because we're only on episode 2 of the season. So it'd be a really weird place for a hiatus. And, you know, it's also bad because I can't really think of anything that I've heard of, like any projects that I'm excited for that anybody's doing. I guess that Star Wars Rebels thing might be pretty good, but that's a ways off. But that's the only thing, really, only real thing I've heard about. Sad times. Arrow's really good. I really like Arrow. But Kevin's the only one that watches it other than me, and he's never here. We only get custody of him one night a week. We lost really bad in the courtroom because we prefer to, or choose to buy a lawyer because you can't buy lawyers.
I just watched the last two episodes.
Of what?
Arrow.
Oh, wait. The last two that just happened?
Yeah.
Like the most recent ones without really knowing what's going on?
I have no idea what's going on, but Mom was watching them. Oh.
So you watched the one today?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you like it?
I think so.
I didn't know what was going on. There was a guy who shot arrows, and then there was a chick that looked like the Black Cat from Spider-Man. And there was a black guy.
It's funny because that's like my default like name when I see like a design like that, even though I know it's not her. And I mean, I know who it is, too. That's the worst part, but I'm like, oh, it's Black Cat. I'm like, wait, no, it's not. No. Fucking canaries or some shit. Fucking birds.
Because I think her hair is supposed to be blonde, because it was blonde in Young Justice. Were you saying to me or to someone else?
Yeah.
Are you really excited about her hair being blonde?
It's supposed to be blonde.
But she's got a white-haired wig in this one because she's trying to hide her blonde hair. Because she doesn't want people to know she's alive. So it makes her look like Black Cat.
Got it.
But I feel like season 1's on Netflix. I recommend it. I really like it a lot. It's one of my favorite shows.
I'll get to it, kind of.
You're just watching it backwards? Especially because that reveal in today's episode was, like, shocking. Because we thought she was dead for, like, the whole series. I was surprised. I'm surprised I didn't see it coming.
Ooh, what?
Never mind. I was just excited to start having to talk about it, and Brian's like, I need more cheese sticks.
Well, I don't know anything about the show other than it's about Green Arrow.
Hey, like my brother watches it, and he told me a little bit about it, so I never sat down to watch it. It's really just it. Plus, I don't know. It just, it wasn't the kind of thing that I was overly excited about when it started up.
So. I wasn't too excited about it like before it happened, but I decided to check it out, and it took a few episodes to get into, but I wound up really getting into it.
From what I understand, Slade's in it, which is kind of awesome to me, because fucking Deathstroke is awesome.
They're both in it, because they're sort of split in two. They do things a little differently sometimes. It's kind of, he's in the flashbacks.
The one in the flashbacks is Slade, right?
Yeah, and then his partner was Deathstroke, and he's presumed dead right now, spoiler alert.
Who? Mom wants to know who the guy at the end of the last episode was.
Wait.
They injected the black guy with stuff.
Oh, the dude that looked like Scarecrow? He's that guy, that politician dude that's been talking about Blood. That's all I know, his name is Blood, and he's the politician guy.
He's that politician guy.
That's been working with... Yeah. He has the same face! He took off his helmet! That was the reveal! That was the reveal, because he took off the helmet, and it was like, oh my god, it's that guy! He changed his face. To be fair, Brian's always laughing. I don't know if he's a politician, he's just always like, the city needs saving, Oliver Queen's a dick.
No, Mom, he's not Iron Man.
No, that's the wrong show.
It wasn't an iron mask, it was a normal mask.
It kind of looks like Scarecrow, but I don't think that's who it is.
Yep.
Well, this Pokemon Center I've been looking for is lost. I've just been circling the Eiffel Tower for like 30 minutes.
It's effective use of your time, Dawson.
Pretty much. Oh, the Pokemon Podcast. Center! Sorry, it's
not yes.
Did you know he's Green Arrow? Oliver Queen is the Arrow? What?
Guess I should get these Twitter questions together.
Yes, 35 minutes, found my first looker ticket.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because I transported myself to the Pokemon Center with the tax, not magic, and then I just started playing without looking because I was talking to you guys, and then I got lost.
Because now it's time for the tweeter questions of the week.
Tweet. No?
Tweet.
The guy at the end.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's great.
Alright. My Twitter window is too small to see what your name is. Let me make it bigger. There we go. Powerman293 says, what is the most interesting name you have given to any Pokemon, or specifically, and X and Y? My Charizard is named Ryuki.
It's not really interesting. No offense.
I named my shiny Helioptile Kira Kira.
Kira Kira! Sorry, I couldn't resist.
I don't think that's interesting, but...
I didn't name it, but that thing I got, the Fennekins named Kennykins. But that's everybody's, but... It's really annoying. I haven't nicknamed anybody in X and Y yet.
Aerosol sent me a Houndour named Dr. Slaughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a bit of a theme for my core team. So, my chessman was named Geoffrey. And he's named after a French knight named Geoffrey de Chani, so I called him Geoffrey de Chespin. The second member of my team was my Pyroar, and since he's a lion, I named him after the king that Geoffrey de Chani served under, which was Jean the Second. So I named him Jean. My Honedge was named... and I'm going to get this wrong, Joyeuse, which is the sword that is used in the coronation process of French kings. My Pangoro is named Jacques, after Jacques Mesrine. I don't speak French. He's a famous French criminal.
No one speaks French.
no one speaks French. My Aurorus is named Arcanciel, which Arcanciel is rainbow, because he's got a little bow fin. And my Clodser is named Pierrier. Again, I don't know if that's right, but and she's named after a medieval French cannon, because she's a claw. She's a little lobster cannon. So I'm not going to name all of my Pokemon, because they all have French names based on something. So
Aristotle went very sophisticated.
I like it. None of my Pokemon are nicknamed, because I'm a lazy sack of shit.
My friend always used to name all of his Pokemon really juvenile names, like Boner. But, like, he had some really funny ones that I wish I could remember. There were some ones that I really liked. I don't know. Who is it? I think Onyx was just named God, and I always thought that was funny. And his Rayquaza was always Mufasa, which I don't know why. I also thought that was amusing. I remember Sceptile was Wang Lizard. Oh, but, God, I actually wrote some down at one point, because there were some really funny ones. I'll have to try to talk to him again and try to remember him. But he always had some really entertaining ones. But I haven't really nicknamed in a while. Like, I usually leave them with their name. I was really bored when I did a Heart Gold playthrough a few years ago, and I did just, like, memory names. Like, you know, not like my memories, but Gaia memories. But that was, like, the last time, I think. Pokemon.
Trying to think of nicknames from... Oh, yeah, I was... That was when I was... My run-through, my Nuzlocke run-through, Diamond, that ended abruptly, because that's how all of my playthroughs end. My Bidoof was named after Boken Black.
Makes total sense. Oh, my God, the Kitty just... Kitamashi show. Hello, Kitty. Sorry.
I was just thinking of the Teddy Ursa that Brian caught in one of the Friend Safaris.
Teddy Nursa.
I love that lady.
It was in a Friend Safari with Chansey and Audino. And I was like, oh, what's this one going to be? Is it going to be Blissey? Is it going to be, I guess, Wigglytuff? Wigglytuff's the nurse in Kalos, which is fantastic. But I was like, oh, what is it going to be? And then it was like, was that Teddy Ursa? So I'm like, you're not a nurse. Aerosol changed that.
Teddy Nursa. It's good.
I get really cool nicknames in Wonder Trade sometimes.
YOLO.
I got a Ursa ring named Barry Bonds, which was really fun. And... I got a Growlithe that was named after a celebrity, too. I'm trying to remember what it was. God, I can't. Whatever.
I caught a Phantump and set it out over Wonder Trade, and I called him Trees Company. Oh, God. Kiefer gave me a good idea for a Slowpoke, and now I can't think of the name that he gave me.
We just need better memories.
It was really funny, because it was another, like, sitcom thing.
Yeah. Okay, so Chenix asks, so here is a thought thinker. Okay. Out of all the movies, TV shows, video games, and anime you have watched over your lifespan, who is your favorite main or side villain? That's a very long span of things.
Wait, side villain of what? I was listening until I heard main or side villain.
Like, just a villain, I guess it's just an all-encompassing villain, since it's broad now. But my favorite villain ever. That's too complicated. Fuck this.
That's when the podcast just ends. That would be fantastic. Plankton. From SpongeBob. I was just joking. I was trying to think of the funniest thing. Plankton's a villain. That's just quiet while everyone thinks. Thanks for making us thinker, Chenix. Jerk.
Not thinker. My favorite villain ever is the kids from the Trix commercial.
They're the worst.
They're the most evil villains.
You could basically possibly. The kids from any cereal commercial. They're all the
kids. Kids in general are the worst.
The kids from Jew Ranger. They're the worst villains.
God, I hate kids.
I remembered the thing that Kiefer told me.
What was it?
It was different pokes.
I remember the tweet now. Oh my god.
I just had a flashback.
I'm trying to think of good villains. I don't know if I can name like a favorite because I haven't really given it any thought. And yeah. Just like going like tokusatsu wise, I love Enter and I like Dr. Maki.
Dr. Maki.
Those were both like they were both pretty fun villains. Enter was great. I'm trying to think.
Enter's kind of like my favorite person ever.
Bold claim.
I make bold claims about GoBusters all the time, but it pays off. Fucking called it on episode 2.
There is one manga villain from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, of course. Who is Yoshikage Kira.
Kira.
And I like him a lot because he came about in a part of the comic that I don't think gets a lot of credit. And he had a lot of mystery built up around him, which a good chunk of the villains from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure don't usually know who they are right away. And, He didn't feel completely broken like every other character. Most villains have the capacity to like stop time or skip time or something to do with time, and it's really like bullshit. But Kira's really simple. He's just a serial killer, and he blows people up. That's it. And he's like, for a good chunk of the comic, you stop following the good guys and you start following him. And it's really interesting to kind of have the like behind the scenes look into how the villain is going about his daily life. And I dig it because he's kind of a normal dude and you can see him from time to time in the background if you know who to look for over the course of the series, you can just kind of see him doing whatever, just going about his daily business. And then eventually you realize, oh, hey, that guy's a serial killer. And he's got one of the coolest stand abilities in the series called Killer Queen, which, like I said, can blow people up. And it blows them up completely without damaging the area around them. So he can kill people and do cleanup within like one easy stroke. But yeah, he was just a great villain to kind of go through the series with.
I'm trying to think of mine. I just can't. There's too many. On a side note, I just went through a traumatic experience. I went into a building, and this creepy ghost chick came up behind me and said...
Yeah, that's so...
Oh, you found her!
Yeah.
What is that?
No one knows what that is.
Dude, don't say that. That makes
no, seriously, it's just one of those random, like, spooky moments that Pokemon tends to have.
Like, nobody knows.
Like, do you remember the ghost girl on the bridge in Black and White?
No, but I don't want to remember it now.
She just sort of randomly appears, and you go up and talk to her, and then she just sort of vanishes. God, and then the guy, there's like a guy who is standing next to her, and he's just like looking around freaked out because he doesn't know where she went. And in Black and White 2, you kind of find out like how she died.
I didn't apparently, even know about that.
Yeah, apparently her, like, she was killed via her nightmares by Darkrai.
Jesus.
I love the spooky stuff in Pokemon. It's like, kind of awesome.
It freaked me out because I'm looking for this other ticket, and I go up the elevator, and like it starts doing this black flashing thing, like a cutscene's happening. I'm like, oh, this must be have to do with a looker mission. And this bitch slides up behind me. I'm like, oh, fuck. And Aerosol's like, you can see him doing his daily life. And I'm like, I'm about to be murdered via game. This is just like that one movie that was like, it happened. They were murdered by the game, and Frankie Muniz was in it. And I'm Frankie Muniz, and I'm going to die. And, like, she said something like, no, you're not the one or something. I was, like, too scared to read. Like, it was so fucking creepy, man. And she, like, glides past you, and then she's not there. And now I can't find the fucking ticket, and everything sucks.
And the bacon's gone, and I hate the feeling.
I'm sure that has to be related to something.
Well, a lot of the like spooky stuff in Pokemon just is there for the sake of being there.
It's just there to generate creepy like, pastas.
Did you ever go into that creepy building? And if you can't, if anybody listening to this can't tell, I recently watched Jay Witz's video.
Yeah, I watched that a couple days ago.
But there's a creepy building in Sinnoh where you get Rotom. I think Rotom.
Yeah, the old chateau.
Yeah, and you can see, like, random people, and they're just there. But if you go in those rooms, they're not, and they, like, just kind of glide around. It's creepy.
God, Pokemon. I don't play Pokemon anymore. It's too violent.
Speaking of Pokemon and the villains question, what did you guys think of Lysander?
Lysol. I couldn't remember his name earlier. I was talking to someone. I called him Lysol.
Not really a fan.
I'm trying to remember what his plan was now. Was it his plan to kill everything? Wasn't that his plan? Or was it to kill all Pokemon?
It was, I don't remember. Essentially to kill people. Everyone but his group.
Well, that just sucks. He's a dick. That's what I think of him. That's not cool, man. You can't do that because it's naughty.
I actually kind of dug it.
Why did he have a Silas backpack? Not Silas. That guy, the new Silas. New Siren. Damn it!
What are you talking about?
The guy, the new gym leader. Oh, he had like a backpack like him. Yeah, Clementine. Didn't he have like a backpack like him? Or something?
Yeah, he had this like weird robo backpack when he went all crazy. That was your final fight with him. I don't know. I kind of liked it mostly because it's interesting to see a game that has a villain that was he wasn't that bad of a guy.
He just wanted to kill everyone,
and he was noticeably like friends with the professor and other people, and he did all this like because he invented. A bunch of technology, including the like hologram messaging thing, and like there's a couple of times throughout the game where people are like praising the stuff that he's done, like saying how he has done good stuff for people. It's just he's gotten to the point where he's so fed up with doing all this good stuff and just still seeing terrible people. That he decided the best thing for the world is to just get rid of everyone that he deems not nice, essentially. I don't know. I liked it, personally.
I did like about the story in general that the stakes felt higher. Like, usually Team Rocket's just like, we want to control Pokemon. It's like, yeah, whatever. But this guy's like, I'm going to kill everything. It's like, oh, I might want to stop you. So it seemed like the stakes were a lot higher than usual. Yep. Yeah. Man, it's a tough room tonight. Unless you're talking about ghost stories.
I just wanted to gauge your guys' reaction just to... I don't know, because I haven't really seen anybody talk about Lysander at all.
I mean, I thought he was a good villain. I feel like the base story was weaker.
Yeah.
But coming off of Unova and Gen 5, where the game was kind of really story-driven, and that's why no one liked it. So...
I liked it.
I mean, I did too, but...
Yeah. Like, I really loved the final, like, encounter with Ed at the end. You're like, both using the dragons, and it felt all epic, and then you get gypped out of being the champion. But it's okay, because it was a really cool final confrontation. And he also molested me on that carnival, so we're cool. I don't know, I really liked Black and White a lot.
Like, I liked the main game in Black and White, but for some reason, after I beat it, it would not hold my interest whatsoever.
There wasn't very much to do, but to be fair, there's not very much to do in Gen 6 either, but it just looks prettier. So you want to just keep running around?
I mean, as long as there are...
Excuse me?
I just started gargling or something. But what I was trying to say was, as long as just, like, there are Pokemon to train or just, like, low stuff to do, I usually come back to it regardless of whether or not there's a long post-game. And I recently got to a point in the Looker missions where it's like, what the hell is going on?
Like, I really liked the tail end of the Looker missions. Like,
yeah,
it was a really good story, to be honest. I think, anyway. But I like what it had to offer. Like, X and Y's endgame isn't big, but I don't think it needs to be. People are kind of overly harsh on the fact that they don't have a big endgame. Like, there's only, like, 2 or 3 legendaries to catch. And that one city. Like, that's really it. But I don't feel like it needs it, because Pokemon's all about building teams and catching Pokemon. I don't think it really needs a big end game, and yeah, we don't have a battle frontier, but there's enough little things in the game between the chateau, the mason, or whatever that French word is, and Meisel, or whatever fucking French. the one in the battle test thing in Lumio City. Like, there's 3 different little battle places to do
and
shit.
And there's a bunch of restaurants.
Yeah, I didn't
even...
usually don't hear that in Pokemon.
Well, you can go and you can, like, battle at the restaurants, and they actually give you XP.
Yeah, I haven't even...
Which I'm always in favor of, like, a battle thing that actually gives you XP.
Yeah, that's
what I like. The stadiums in 5. I didn't like that I had to wait a day. But in, like, the chateau... like, the opponents gradually get stronger the more you beat them, and they refresh, I think, every hour, which is nice. And then the restaurants, as long as you have money, you can keep going back. And they're especially nice if you want to kind of level up weaker Pokemon and don't want to grind.
The Battle Chateau will update almost immediately if you use the rites or writs or whatever the word is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it costs money, but if you have an amulet coin, you get that money back in, like, 10 minutes. Which is in no way what I'm doing right now. But anyway. So let's see. Super Power Geek says, if you legally change your full name to the name of a character from one of your shows, what would you pick?
Hans Chuckman.
I forgot about that guy. Oh my god, yes.
Let's switch you to Janae.
Philip.
Just Philip.
Sonozaki Raito. Not really. I like my name. I like me. I'm the greatest character.
I don't know if I have an answer. I can't see now that the question has been asked, I can't think of any characters who have cool names that I think I would like. Besides, I do like my name anyway.
That must be nice.
Well, it is kind of odd because I have such a simple name, but I still run into a bunch of people who screw it up. Like, somehow, because they overcomplicate it. Or when I'm in, like, a doctor's office or any time at school, they would always like reverse my name or get it out of order. And I'd just be like, you do this every day. You read these charts and these lists every single day, and they're always in the exact same order. So why would you think that I am any different just because of my name happens to have, you know, two first names?
Aerosol's yelling at this person. Sir, please don't yell at me. No, I will not stand for this. Okay.
Like, yeah. And then I get people who ask me to spell my last name. I'm like, are you fucking serious?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've had people ask me if it's spelled, you know, the way it's actually spelled. I'm like, seriously, it's just think of that name and spell it the way you think it should be spelled. That's it. Yeah, people are dumb sometimes. It, like, over the dumbest stuff, too.
I think Kevin would keep his first name but change his last name to Levin because he likes the character so much.
So, TDA Winner says, 2 weeks into the start of Gen 6, what do you think is next for Pokemon? Gen 7. No, there has been a ton of speculation about the next games already based upon what's being said in X and Y. Obviously the logical step would be in XY 2 or Z. But with like things the guides saying plus some things that the characters say, people are starting to speculate that the next games will be like Gen 6 Part 2. Where it will be like a ton of new Pokemon, but still be classified in Gen 6. Hence the small Pokedex in X and Y.
So like new Pokemon, same region kind of thing.
New Pokemon, new region, same gen.
Oh, huh.
It's a really weird way of trying to
do well, it. Now, what's making people think this?
If you go hotel hopping for like 4 days straight, there's a hiker.
He says, you'll see my region soon enough, that guy?
Yeah, and he gives you a souvenir. It's like strange souvenir, was what the item's called or something. And it's like, oh, it's shaped like a legendary Pokemon from a faraway region, and it's like nothing recognizable. And the guide for the game actually lists the people that you find in hotels.
Uh-huh.
And there's one from every region, and the hiker is from unknown region.
Uh-huh.
Whereas all the other regions have a person already. Secondly, the guide has a berry guide in it, and then it says that out on top of the berries you can obtain in the game, plus I think there's 13 that you can create by doing the berry farming.
Yeah, the mutation thing.
There's 14 berries that you can only get from other regions. And there's no way to get berries from any other regions through XY. So
I didn't even know about this.
I have no idea, but I mean, I think there's enough evidence to kind of toy with the theory. I personally don't think it will happen, but it would be interesting to see a kind of Gen 6 Part 2 where we get a bunch of new Pokemon, where that normally doesn't happen with the next games. But
it's sort of like Black and White 2, but instead of exploring the same region again, you get a whole new region. Right. Which kind of makes sense logically based on their progression.
Like, Black and White 2 had a lot of new areas. It was still Unova, but there was a lot of new in it. And the same thing, I guess, could technically apply to Kalos. There could be just, like, another area of Kalos. Secondly, a lot of people were tying into the mythos a little bit with the fact that they keep referencing all these wars between Kalos and neighboring regions, which I find kind of funny because it's based upon France. But, I think it would be interesting to see if, like, the next games are one of the neighboring regions of Kalos. So you still get a bunch of the Kalos Pokemon plus some new Pokemon plus old Pokemon and maybe a way to visit some locations in Kalos too. But I don't... There's a lot of possibilities and I'm not really sure which direction they're going to go, but...
Yeah. Huh.
There's so much they could do.
I wonder if it wasn't sort of a new region, but part of this gen, if we would get new starters again.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because I know there was people... Because it was very confusing on NeoGAF, because there's some people dismissing it as, like, people wanting more Pokemon. There was rumors about, like, the storyline saying something about... There was something in the storyline about Pokemon being erased, or there used to be more Pokemon in Kalos, and now there's not, or something. But I got really lost.
Life and death's a big thing with Gen 6, so...
Well, that and the idea of overpopulation, which I actually liked that they tied in the fact that there's so many fucking Pokemon in this region. Because that was like one of Lysander's biggest concerns, was that eventually it would become overpopulated and we would just have nothing left.
It already is. I couldn't build a team. Sitting here going, I'm at the second gym and I got like 80 Pokemon already. Help.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what's next.
Good times. Let's see. This is also Power Man. He says, Shuki, why do you hate Kamen Rider Ryuki? Because it hit the reset button, that's why. I honestly don't really have any gripes with Ryuki outside of not liking the ending. I think it's a really enjoyable ride until you get to the little speed bump at the end.
What is a Kamen Rider?
I don't know. But no, I really liked watching Ryuki. I don't like the ending, but I just give it slack or flack. Flack.
Aflack!
Yeah. just because it's what I do. Most of the time I'm just flat out not even taking myself seriously, but I just like being a dick.
My friend just posted a picture of his Halloween costume and he used hashtag yeah. Yeah. Oh, he doesn't even know that we do that. I think that's hilarious. Sorry. Way too many hashtags here. This is Facebook.
Oh, this is fun. TKDT Gray says, before I ask my question, I wanted to thank you guys for the laughs. I needed some laughter, and you guys never failed to make my sides hurt. Done with the ass-kissing, it's time for my question. Since Kevin is basically passing on his knowledge to his new child, good job, how would the rest of you guys pass your nerd knowledge to you offspring? Yes, Dawson needs to learn how to have offspring, and Aerosol has to have some kind of weird android girl so she can handle his accidental dangerous life. Apparently you live too much on the dangerous side to actually have real social interaction. But
a guy got struck by lightning when he just talked to Aerosol.
This was like one of the only questions that I read before before we started. And I brought it up and I just kind of skimmed it real quick and I caught the line, Aerosol would have you know, Android girl or something like that. I'm like, what the hell is this question about? How am I supposed to reproduce with an Android girl? Well, wait, no. Actually, Krillin did it.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
And if Krillin can do it, I can do it.
If Krillin can do it, anybody can do it. You'll even get hair. It puts hair on your head. You know, it's like they say it puts hair on your chest, but that puts hair on your head, having sex with an Android.
Oh, fucking Dragon Ball. I guess I'll talk. The same way he is, like, just talking and teaching and watching and showing. Like, that's really, that's how you teach people. I mean, in terms of what, Pokemon is an absolute must. I want to be one of those people that I play the TCG with that, like, have kids and they play in the junior division and the old people play in the master's division and then
Hawaii Brian becomes ensues. A master.
Like, that's just something that I really want to do in the future. In terms of everything else, I don't know, just you sit down with it and like, hey, look, this is this, and either it learns or it doesn't.
If it doesn't, well, then you just leave it somewhere. Leave it in the Kmart and start over.
Jesus. Oh, my. Well, I'm not, like, a big fan of the idea of, like, forcing my kid to like what I like. I don't exactly. think they I don't think they have to. But kids are pretty much open to, like, a lot of stuff. If they see something their parents are doing, they're going to want to join in and, you know, do it as well. So just, like, if I'm just sitting there watching my shows or if I have toys around, the kid's just going to naturally want to play with those things or sit down and watch the show. So, and if they like it, awesome. If they don't, okay, maybe I will think about leaving them in a Walmart. But for the most part, I, you know, it's not going to be a big deal.
Leaving them.
So yeah,
I'm trying to figure out if leaving them in a Walmart is a step up or down from the Kmart.
Well, the Kmart, because then if you can never visit there again, but who cares if you can never go to Kmart again? Walmart's pretty important.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'll leave them in a Borders.
They're all closed.
That's exactly, just leave them in an abandoned Borders. This is where books go to die.
I don't think anybody would have to do, like, actively try to teach their kids about their interests. Just, yeah. I feel like it just kind of come naturally.
If it learns, it learns. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
I like the use of it, too.
Also, it's timed, awesome. Just letting you know.
Time for what? Oh, snap. Thank you. Time for what? I'm all excited.
Time for us.
Here's my morpher. Oh, yeah, the battery's exploded inside it.
That's gross.
I hate when that happens.
Jeff asks, what's your favorite Sonic game?
The one where you go there and you order everything on the menu.
I love how there's just this, like, awkward pause after.
Well, I was waiting to see if anyone else was going to answer this, like me.
Yeah,
I don't play Sonic.
Neither do I. I go to the restaurant occasionally.
God, Sonic is amazing.
Sonic frustrates the hell out of me.
Gotta go fast.
It's not, like, anything in the game aesthetically or about the story or whatever, because I don't know shit about the story. I can't play it. It's like my mind does not work that way. I had a friend in high school who was really big into Sonic, and he tried to get me to play several of the games, and I couldn't do it. I don't do Sonic.
As much as I really like Adventure and Adventure 2,
get Tamers. Sorry, you couldn't.
In recent times, the Rush games on Game Boy Advance were really good.
Recent times? Game Boy Advance.
It hasn't been a good time for Sonic. Sonic Colors on the DS wasn't too bad. I tend to like the DS and Game Boy Advance games more, just because they're closer to the Genesis style of games. And while I really, really like Adventure and Adventure 2 and Tamers and Frontier, the newer 3D Sonic games just haven't really been able to hold my interest. I usually end up beating them, but it's a bit of a grind at some points, and I think it has a lot to do with Sonic's speed just doesn't tailor well to cameras. So they end up usually being a hassle to play, I think. So I usually just try to stick... I'm debating about getting Lost World for the 3DS, but the problem with the 3DS one is that it's now lots of 3D as opposed to the 2D. So it's kind of a lost cause. Lost World is lost cause.
Sonic the Lost Cause. Please buy our game. You know, Tommy, I'm time when this shit's going slow. I just need to buy the one. God.
Let's see. Charles Chong asks, favorite Marvel and DC villain? It's all those villain questions. All those
man, everyone's evil.
I'm like evil.
Oh, an error.
I feel like Aerosol's gonna say Deathstroke.
Sounds like a masturbating.
Not necessarily.
Okay. I feel like every casual moviegoer would just say Loki. I don't know anyone else.
From all of Marvel, there's a Green Goblin. Doc Ock, Electro, anybody else? What's that guy from Fantastic Four? The guy with the metal face? Dr. Doom?
The man in the Iron Mask? It's Leonardo DiCaprio.
Who's the guy in Iron Mask? It's the politician guy from, like, the scene before it. Oh. Brian laughs in her face.
She should be used to that. I don't know, I can't really answer the question all too much.
And I can't very much either, but I'm trying to think.
My familiarity with, like, both franchises are very basic, so I can't really be of too much help.
It's basic stuff.
You're a basic stuff.
Oh my god, internals are rare. You're an internals are rare.
We all really love Anarchy.
Oh, he's just the best. He shut up. He showed up in Arkham Origins. I'm like, damn it, you're the worst.
Yeah.
You're the Brit of Batman villains. And then I stormed out.
I saw that he showed up in Arkham Origins. God, I hate Anarchy. I think he's got the same voice, like the same voice actor. Because he sounds the same.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ. You sound so, like...
The worst.
You were the worst. You were the Brita of Batman villain.
Ruined a Brita party. That's like letting poop spoil.
Oh, poor Brita.
I used that today on GSG. I said, you Brita'd it. And she said, what is that? Like, the filter? It's like, that's perfect.
Wait,
is Brita filter?
I also want to point out that Kiefer had the same idea as the Pokemon nickname question. So I just wanted to let everyone know. Like,
stop stealing ideas, Kiefer.
Kiefer had the idea too, but he's a little thief. A little thief frog. And that's all the questions I feel like answering. Well, when you put me in charge of reading the questions, it's what I say goes.
Brian, don't care.
Your question wasn't read, I probably hate you.
Brian's taking over the offensive part for Kevin.
Someone's gotta
pick up the slack.
No, they really don't.
I really just have to pee and want to leave.
You peed already!
I'm having bladder issues today. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
Wait, I want you to end it right after you say, I'm having bladder issues. Like, right? You said that perfectly. I don't know why. It was just funny.
What about final thing is?
Oh, shit. Fine. Oh, he's having bladder issues. There. Can you end it now? Wait, do we have anything to say?
No.
Oh, okay. Did she get bit? No. But your stepdad is. Oh, okay. What's his name? Philip, yeah. Oh.